Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Luca. Who else is on?
I know Pablo is here.
Juan Carlos.
Pablo, Luca is here also.
Excellent.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Juan Carlos, Luca.
Good morning.
So, Luca, how was your week and what's on your mind?
Oh, it was a fantastic week, actually. I was on holidays. So, not much to say.
Okay.
Getting back to the harsh reality.
Well, the environment is pretty good, I'd say. You know, the world is, has a lot of issues, but generally the markets are pretty stable and life is good. So.
Yes. Yes. Correct. And we are about to start part three, right? Aren't we?
That's right. Week 9 is the beginning of acquisition. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about it. Now's the time we do something about it. So, one of the, what about updating your LinkedIn page? I haven't had a chance to check on it. Were you able to do that?
No, actually, you know, I'm not very fond of the social network websites. Don't use Facebook, actually. So you get a picture with that. And I prefer privacy on that side.
So what do you think? Is that a characteristic of people from your neck of the woods?
No. I don't know why. I mean, I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't have the need to have it. Therefore, that's why I'm not using it. Yeah, basically that. On LinkedIn, I should update the profile. That I should do. That definitely would be a plus for networking, you know. But on Facebook, don't feel comfortable. I'd rather own the stock. Oh, that for sure.
Well. Let me give you the pushback argument, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The argument is that if you were an independent investor and you had, you know, $25 million of your own,
uh-huh.
and you didn't need to contact anybody and you didn't need any clients, then that would be great. The problem is that you want to be known in your community as well as in your network. You want new clients, and new clients are going to check you out. Okay, so I tell people, like it or not. If you are in business where you are acquiring new relationships, you're a public figure, and you need to be active, not super active, but at least current, on LinkedIn and Facebook. And Facebook can be used for business, too. You can have a business Facebook account rather than just social. Here's the way people use it. They use LinkedIn, they use primarily as a source of connecting to people that have liquidity events.
Mm-hmm.
So when you find out somebody is selling their business, they're retiring, something is happening, you can then check your connections to see who would know that person. Well, maybe somebody, one of your clients, and then you go ahead and connect to them, and they then connect you to the prospect. Now, in Facebook, what they use as a tool to keep up on your clients. So, for example, in fact, this just came up the other day. Somebody said, it's kind of weird. I haven't, you know, I don't see these people, but maybe 2 times a year, but I keep up on Facebook, and so I know exactly what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a lot of people do. I have teams that prospect every day on LinkedIn. Every day, every morning they get on there and they are prospecting for new clients, and it works.
So
they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it, you know. Facebook, you don't have to be an active poster. You just have to have a presence so you can see other people. So you do it more as a research project to connect and to find out what the person, you know, what their hobbies are, what they're, so then you can connect better with them on a personal level.
Perfect.
And I understand. I mean, if you're
I take that as a positive, and that's that should be the right way to use those tools, definitely. And and it's I mean, yeah, both at the end there are tools, and we can use them in the right way to profit and to keep up with clients, and it's a very easy way to do it, in a silent way, you know, like that. Yeah.
So just in terms of Facebook, I like to use, if I'm going to post on Facebook, I use it personally, but you know, if I'm thinking of you as a business, I want to demonstrate what charitable events myself or my family or my company are engaged in. That makes people like you and want to do business with you because you're giving back to the community. On LinkedIn, I like to use it to teach people and to be kind of a thought leader in our industry. So when I post something there, I like to use a picture on top of an article. So if I'm going to write an article, which you probably can't do because of limitations by your firm,
mm-hmm.
but theoretically, if you're going to write an article, take a picture that would represent the article and then write the article, you'll get more hits that way. So I might get 5,200 hits on an article that I write. So that's a great way for me to get known and trusted in our industry. And people will actually reach out then and remember me and want to do business.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Great idea. I work on that. Point taken.
You know, and your expertise is in the family office group. So that would be that you find articles on, you know, from your firm and other firms that have been posted on family offices. That's a great idea. Repost those on LinkedIn and even Facebook, and then they, you know, you become the authority then in the eyes of your clients on family offices.
Perfect. perfect.
And you'll learn things, you know, you learn by reading and finding out, you know, who's active in the family office group arena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, once you start doing it, we can have a further discussion. You can ask a lot more questions because you'll have more.
Yeah,
but
probably Pablo can share some thoughts on this. I guess he's very active using both.
Actually, I have Facebook. I use it as a way, as you say, Robbie, to keep in touch with people I don't get to meet a lot, and I also use it as a background check or just to see if I have someone I want to prospect or something. It's a good idea to see pictures, see if they have family, etc. And I used to have LinkedIn, but with one of the relationships I've had with one of the banks I work with, they, due to compliance issues, they wanted to audit what I had in LinkedIn, and it was... for the bank, it was like $100-$150 a month just to audit my LinkedIn, yeah. And I decided to close it. I said, okay, I won't use it until we just because I didn't want it to pay that. I don't know if I did a good thing or not, but it was like saying, hey, I don't like everything to be audited, and I prefer to stay in a low profile. But I agree that I have to be more active. Maybe one of the goals here in the office is start to producing more information to publish or to share, and these social media networks would be a good way of publishing and keeping up to date with people.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Compliance is an issue, and, you know, you have to do what you have to do. Maybe there's been an improvement in that situation. You might go back and check on it, but
yes.
That's a bit annoying. That's too bad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But well, I agree, and for me it's a dilemma, the social network, because I'm 34 now. I'm 33 in 3 weeks. I'm going to be 34. I'm not a millennial, I guess, but I'm between Luca and the generation of 25 years old guys or 20 years old guys that, for example, play with me rugby, and everything goes through the social networks in that age. But also, it's something that you have to be active, because if you have a Facebook or a web page or something that you have it like dead or without movement, it's like scoring negative points, because people say, "Hey, this is not alive."
Yeah, I would say that Facebook is a little bit different. Then, because they don't care, you know, they only care about seeing their own pictures and their best friend's pictures and things like that. So you can kind of troll through the internet, without posting a lot. You can just post, you know, just updating your own picture every once in a while is not a bad thing to do. That's what I tell people to do. Change your picture every month. And that's about all you really need to do periodically. Just change your picture. Just get a new picture, or a different picture, a different angle, different something. And that's the same with LinkedIn. Just periodically change your picture. And then you'll have like four or five or six or seven different pictures of you at different places and doing different things and different. And then I just like to change them around. And that always gets, you know, Rob's updated his profile. That's enough to update your profile. So at least you look like you're somewhat active, you know. So that's an easy way.
It's a good idea. Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yeah, it just keeps it keeps it current, and they always send out the picture, which is what you really want, because, you know, they you want people to remember that you're there, and if they want to get in touch with you, oh, yeah, Rob, I meant to call him. Here's my phone number, you know. Boom, they call me. So, and it makes it look like you're not retired, you know.
Yes. No, it's a great idea. Yeah, I've never thought that in that way of changing my picture and that's it. It's a good idea. I will do it.
Yeah. I had, you know, periodically I have, you know, when you take a trip or something, you're in the mountains. I mean, I do that. I use pictures like that. I use them from various times in my life and in terms of more activities that I'm engaged in. I'll have a picture on the beach, of a picture of when I'm coaching in Switzerland, or I'm, you know, I'm in Florida or I'm someplace. And so they're all different. And so they're not just different, just simply pictures of me alone. You know, they're pictures of me on a stage, and they're pictures of me in a mountain, or pictures of, so it just gives people an idea that you're, you know, that you're multidimensional.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a good idea. Okay. And social media fits in with our marketing. You know, that's if you hired a marketing person alone just to help you to market yourself, to become more known and trusted in your community, this would be the very first discussion they would have. Okay. Then they talk to you about publishing or getting your thoughts out there. And frankly, the best way to do that is through social media initially.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe a blog, and then maybe a book. And don't dismiss the idea of writing a book. I mean, it is something that you can become an authority once you've written a book. So I'm not telling you that's what I want you to spend your time doing now, but build a library of your ideas just like I did. You know, I never thought about really writing a book. But it was the culmination of a lifetime of work in an area that I chose. And I had a different perspective on things than the industry at the time particularly. And by testing it, you know, having my lab and testing my theories and making them work or having them work, it was kind of like a scientist working for Eli Lilly. You know, I did my beta tests, I did my case study work, and then when I retired, I published it. That created Supernova. So just think about it in the area of family office group. I mean, what is, you know, what's controversial? I mean, that's the first thing you look at is, what's controversial in the world of family office groups, you know? And what are the challenges? What are the hardest things? What are the problems? You know, I was talking this morning about with somebody on a particular industry, and they closed their business because the cost of people was too great. You know, so there's always something that's going to cause the business to have some problems. And so our job is, you know, as thought leaders in our markets is to have solutions to the anticipated problems. Maybe it's not a crisis now, but eventually it will be. And if we have the solutions, when the crisis happens, people turn to us then for the answers. So sometimes when you have a crisis and other people don't, that can be a good thing, because they may eventually have that same crisis, but you've learned how to solve it initially, and therefore you are the thought leader or the leader of the solution team for that particular issue. So our issue was service, clients leaving, not just being dissatisfied, but actually leaving. And that's why we created Supernova, to solve that particular problem. Well, nobody anticipated that it would actually be a way of increasing the business. And in some several cases, doubling the business. That was a dividend from improving the client experience. So it was really fun. It was a breakthrough that nobody expected. I mean, I thought, you know, you spend more time with your best clients, you'll do more business. But I just didn't realize how the ritualization of that would permeate the whole book and make client satisfaction so much higher, which made FA satisfaction so much higher, and therefore everybody was happier. And they brought balance to the lives of the FAs. So there were, you know, that was, you're going to have one of those things happen probably in your whole life. Some people are inventive people and creative people, and they have that happen multiple times. But, so you always want to be aware of the issues, problems that are plaguing your niche, and then have, you know, work on creative solutions for those niches. And that brings us back to, you know, what do we do for our centers of influence? That's what we do. We come up with creative solutions for their issues. Rather than thinking about, okay, let's form a mastermind group, or let's have centers of influence and meet with them monthly, and how am I going to get clients? Think instead, how am I going to be of service to that client? How am I going to, so I need to know enough about what they do and their biggest challenges and problems so that I can bring solutions to them. Okay? And don't be afraid to use Supernova as an idea on industrial engineering of how to solve problems for lots of industries, lots of people, because they all suffer from the same thing, trying to do business with too many people, trying to serve too large a group, not focusing on the 20% that give them 80% of their revenues. So you as a thought leader can help a lawyer, CPA, real estate broker, commercial and residential. You can pretty much help everybody that's in business by simply applying what you've learned with Supernova. You never feel like you walk into any meeting completely devoid of assistance to those people. You can be me. You can be a consultant that specializes in solutions to improve productivity, which is kind of fun and kind of challenges you and takes you out of your box of thinking yourself as only as an investment person. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what I'd like to do is have you guys think about this week putting yourself in a position where you're asking your clients those questions. You know, what are your biggest challenges this year, 2018, in your business? You know, what's holding you back? If you had more of this, of blank, would that solve your problems? You know, if I had better people, if I had more money to invest in the company, if I had more time, if I had more, you know, if commodity prices weren't skyrocketing, if this weren't that. So do some detective work with your clients so that you can comfortably know what their biggest challenges are. Okay, very similar to what, you know, when we first talked, right? What do you want from Supernova? Basically, what can Supernova do for you? You wrote, grow with more balance, go home at 5:30 versus 7:30, take advantage of high net worth strategies to bring in high net worth clients, use the 12-4-2 model, and I want to listen more to clients, spend more time listening to clients. So that was very helpful to me. Then I can keep that in the back of my mind the whole time while I'm coaching you. Mm-hmm. So do you have the answers to what your clients want from you, but also what's their biggest challenge in their business? And can you, you know, you don't have to solve their problems to be of value. Just listening to them is of great value to them. Nobody cares enough to ask the question or to listen. That's the truth. No. Either they don't care or they don't understand it. So there's very few people your clients have a chance to unload on. And you can be that person in order to help them. You know, and once you're their consultant and you're helping them, it's not a big leap to be helping to get referred to somebody else that you could help. Mm-hmm. Right? Who else is in a similar situation as you are and would value the services that we provide? I mean, that's as easy as it comes. Right? That's simple. Simple way for asking for introduction. So in acquisition, we have 7 different strategies that we use. Some are direct in terms of asking for introductions. Some are very indirect, such as being on boards of directors. That's a kind of a circuitous route to finally to getting to very big money. So you want to serve on boards. It's kind of like prospecting. You don't want to prospect in pools that don't have any fish in them. You want to prospect in the pools that have big fish, just like you want to be on the boards of organizations that have wealthy people. So when you do everything, make sure that your activity is directed towards what you want the outcome to be. I'll give you an example. I had a client who said, I was asking, what kind of clients do you want? He says, I want doctors who are 50 years old and older, well established in their practices, that basically have, you know, more than a couple $1 million. That was easy. And I said, so how are you marketing to that? What's your marketing strategy for the year? He said, I'm going to do seminars once a month. I said, oh, that's interesting. Where are you doing them? At the country club. Who are you inviting? Or just a general group of people, you know. I said, so let me get this straight. You're prospecting at the country club. You're inviting people off of Lyft, but you really want to get doctors. Is that right? Yes. Then why don't you prospect doctors? He goes, yeah, I never thought about it. I said, yeah, so we're going to cancel the seminar thing because that's not going to get you doctors. And we're going to focus on getting doctors. And so we did. And we got doctors. So anyway, that's, you want to be sure that your activity is matching your goals. You know, are you prospecting for what you want? So, what do you think you want this year?
I'll start. I know Luca, and for example, if I have to put my goal, as I told you in another talk we had, we are finishing rebranding the office, and hopefully in September we will have the new registered office with the new name, and that's our idea is with that start with marketing material we're working with in order to start prospecting again. I am currently working on a list of prospects. Today I'm reading and preparing the meeting with you guys. I said I have to increase my list of prospects in order to increase my possibility of success. So, and in a parallel to that, we are working on the marketing material and and shifting the company and the brand to provide this service because, as I said, we are changing from an office where we had to work a lot in confidentiality and in staying with a low profile, and now we have to have a higher profile. And it's something that culturally in the office is really difficult because we weren't used to it. So we have to start preparing that.
Right. That's the idea of not being on, you know, not being on a public figure. You know, you go from a private figure to a public figure.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a big change. I mean, I went through this with the Swift, you know, with the Swift. With UBS, I taught the Swifts, you know, they were obviously in the same exact boat. They just sat and, you know, life was good. People came to them, they wanted to hide money, and they had no problem. Then the game changed. You know, the game changed, and they said, come over and teach us how to market. And I was like, okay. We got a lot of work to do. Because they were completely, you know, not used to going out and shaking hands with people and introducing themselves and marketing themselves. That was a very big change.
But well, it's a good opportunity, and in Argentina, in these past 3-4 months, people is starting to ask again to move assets and invest assets internationally. So we're kind of I think that in a dilemma that we have to start prospecting and start working with new prospects, and so now people is a little bit more aware of what it means investing abroad and all, and you have to have some marketing material. So we are running with the marketing guys working with that, and we are running with registering and all that, because everything goes we have to put all together again in a way.
Yeah, it's that getting known and trusted in the higher profile. It's a bigger market, you know. It's like just almost as if you're starting your own business over again. You got to get out there in the community and join the Chamber of Commerce and get to know people and let them know you're there, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, the question is, I mean, one thing to create marketing material, but then that, what's the plan though?
Yeah, oh, exactly. That's the same thing I'm discussing with my father, because I'm the one that says, give me material, and he says, go and start prospecting and give me a plan to prospect. In a way, the issue is that we always marketed our way of promoting our service was referrals and talking about the bank where we work with, Morgan Stanley, for example, and saying this is the service we provide and this is the service we can provide. Now, as some things change in Argentina, we also have to talk about competitors and the service we provide, and people is going to start asking, well, are you registered? Are you, what's your web page? And all those things that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, weren't so necessary than now. That's why. But I think that as you're telling it, I have to start prospecting first and then finishing all those things, because that's another tool. But the main thing is start visiting people and start increasing my probabilities of having new clients.
Yeah, I would just have have your updated web page, have your business cards, marketing material. That's kind of like 1980, you know?
Yeah.
You don't use them anymore. You know, we use internet, we use websites, we use personal, you know, how many times do you get, what do you do with marketing materials when you get them in the mail, you know, or you get them from somebody, you throw them away? I mean, people don't keep things anymore. They don't file things. So yeah, we have marketing materials. I can't tell you the last time I used them. I mean, I never use them. I send people stuff on the internet and they read it, you know, they read it. They open it up and read it. Your marketing materials may be useful if they're, you know, on the internet, but they're certainly not useful in print. So
yeah.
you want to have your business card, and then you want to have your plan. Who do I need to meet? That's really the business. Your business plan is, who do I need to know? Who do I need to meet? How do I get to know them? Okay?
Yeah.
So that should be the premise, the beginning of your business plan. Who do I need to know? Who do I need to meet? And how do I get to meet them? Okay?
Yeah.
So you make a list of the people that you need to know. You know, they're connectors. They're people that you if you knew them and they trusted you and liked you or do business with you, they could change your life, right? Because they know everybody. They'll introduce you to everybody. So your goal is to get to meet them, to do business with them, and have them start to introduce you around. How many do you need? You don't need a lot, but you want to start with a good number.
Yeah.
So that you end up having one of them becomes your new best friend, your uncle, you know, and he introduces you around. And how do you do that? By making friends, really. Truthfully, right? I mean, you make friends with people. They like you and they trust you. So if we're in the liquor business or we're in any business, I mean, you got to get to know the people. You know, you got to get to know the bartenders. You got to get to know the people that own the hotels and the people that own the liquor stores and the people that own the bars and the people that own the clubs. And so you go knock on doors and introduce yourself. Have other people introduce you. And you start networking around. And that's what we do. And so one of the things that I always said is this. You got two jobs. One of them is to talk to clients, and the other is to talk to prospects. Now, here's a good exercise. Keep track of the number of minutes every day that you're talking to a client or to a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the minutes that you're doing your job. Otherwise, you're doing somebody else's job.
Okay. It's good. It's tough, but it's good.
Yeah, you're gonna be shocked, okay? Just do it. Do it as an exercise. And the goal...
I agree with my mind, it's just that you told it, and
I think we already know it more or less.
Yeah.
That number. Yeah. It's at least from my case, it's mostly talking to clients. And I know, I'm aware, it's not the right balance. I should be dedicating more time to talk to prospects. And this also, sorry to interrupt Pablo, but this also goes to the question of Rob. What my goal? My goal actually is just to focus on refining my practice. In order to have more time for you know work life balance and dedicate more time to family, and once I think I have a practice that is more organized that runs smoothly, I can escalate that and I can have more time to focus on doing prospecting, and once at least from my point of view I think everybody has a we have our own story, we have our background, and I think we evolve day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and then we become better professionals. That's the objective. And I think the professional I'm now differs from the one I was 3-5 years ago or 8 years ago. So I think now I'm more able to target clients with a different caliber, like more sophisticated, bigger clients that they need probably an advisor with a minimum level of expertise and so on. So now I feel more, you know, like confident and comfortable to go for bigger clients. And before doing that in more an aggressive way, what I want to do first is to have my practice very, very, very well organized. So that would be my main goal for this year.
Well, also keep in mind, it's, you know, I had a professor at Wharton, and he wrote a book, and in the book he talks about a concept called, it's not the tyranny of the or. The tyranny of the or. It's the genius of the and. Now, what does that mean? Mm. Well, there are those people that believe that they can either organize their practice or they can prospect. He would say that the genius is to be able to do both. Mm-hmm. Organize your practice and the prospect. And the prospect. Because they're both new skills, and you can do it. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can do both. You don't have to be in the tyranny of one or the other.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay? It's like living your life and exercising. Right? You can work and exercise and be a good dad and be a good husband. And finding that balance is the key. Because you're going to be happier if you're touching all of your critical touchstones. When you're only organizing and talking to clients, you always have this little hole in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I should be prospecting. Okay? No matter what you tell yourself, you always feel that. Now, I had spent like 6 weeks without vigorous exercise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I never do that, ever. I mean, I'm always exercising. I always find time. But I was traveling. I was with my daughter, my granddaughter. And we were walking, but it wasn't my kind of exercise. So I had this hole in me. And finally this week, and last week, I'm back into my routine. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm not tired today. I'm really tired. I worked out hard this morning. But I'm so happy now. Because I know that that's me. You know, without me, without exercise, I'm not me.
Mm-hmm.
Not my best self. So, that's my wisdom for you.
Yeah. No, but I get that. I get that. And definitely that's the right approach. What I meant basically is to, you know, to do it more aggressively, you know.
Right.
To have more like a balance of do more prospecting than the one I'm currently doing, because at the end when I'm sitting in front of a client, I'm doing many of the things you mentioned. I'm thinking, how can I help him with his business, solving some of his problems, and in a way trying to find new opportunities to get more leads, to meet you know, prospects and so on. So we actually do that in a way. But what I don't have probably is a system, you know, an organized system to do prospecting. That should be the right way to do it.
Well, I can teach you some systems, and that's the idea.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if you meet, you know, part of it was interesting this morning. My assistant Cindy was going to work out this morning, and she didn't initially show, and then she did. And I was having this discussion with another person, is that showing up is the most important thing. Not to worry about the outcome. Don't worry about how great a workout you're going to have. Just show up.
Yeah.
Okay? So for me, my wisdom for today is to just show up, okay, in the prospecting, in your prospecting brain. You don't have to worry about the outcome. Just designate some time for it and show up and do it. Spend an hour marketing and prospecting and thinking about it. And just designate that time block, an hour or 2 hours. And just say, okay, this is my workout time for prospecting. You know, what do I need to do? Do I need to call some centers of influence? Do I set up some new folders for centers of influence? Do I start my mastermind group? Can I call somebody and ask for to have lunch with them and talk about their business and our relationship, where it might go? Okay. So, just the time blocking and saying this is prospecting time is showing up every day doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like starting to do workout. One day you have to start to put it like a habit, and it will work like that.
Yeah. It's just and you'll feel so much better. You feel guilt-free. You know, you're guilt-free, plus you feel physically better. And the same thing, you'll mentally feel better when you exercise your prospecting creativity rather than just postponing it till the perfect time. There is no perfect time. get started today. Okay?
Okay.
I leave you there. All right, my friend.
Well, okay, thanks for the talk.
Yeah, I don't want it to be one-sided, but today was, I think, a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I will talk to you next week. Have a really good time, and keep track of the minutes that you spend talking to prospects and to clients. That's a good exercise.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
See you guys. You, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sí, voy a ver si lo llamo. Me habló 2 minutos con este.